We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Let's see if C-Sheck can come back to get him. He misses for ball four. 3-1 pitch. And that's ball four. The lead is 4-2 Cubs, bottom of the eighth inning. Braves at first and second, nobody out. The 3-2 pitch, ball four. Steve Cishek has walked the bases loaded. The 1-0 pitch, drilled toward right center, on the run, Almora. It's over his head. It's up against the wall. Two runs are in. Rounding third, Markakis, the throw to the plate, not in time. A three-run double for Johan Camargo, and just like that, the Atlanta Braves lead 5-4.
Oh, is that awful?
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Our studios are in the lobby of 12 Prue, 130 East Randolph in Chicago. This is the Back to Baseball Rally, as we remind the Cubs to get back to baseball.
It would help.
Ideally, that's kind of what we want to have happen here. So, The Score's broadcasting all day from here. Your opportunity to come hang out, enjoy baseball talk. We got all sorts of things going on. The World Series trophy is going to be here at noon, and we are here because of Redemption Rye Whiskey. Get your Redemption Rye Whiskey or bourbon today. And Sweetwater Tavern and Grill. They're bringing food later. Very excited about that. Sweetwater is newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile. Here's what we have today. We have Jason Benetti planning to stop by at 10 o'clock, midday midway at 10:20. Len Casper, Cubs voice at 10:40. And then the Cubs general manager, Jed Hoyer, is going to join us at 11. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Texting 67011. When you send, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Stop walking, people.
Ball 8. Ball 12.
Stop it.
And when you download it, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Big cast and crew here. I should mention, too, we have the video feed.
It's up and running.
Directed
cameras,
by Brian Gertsch. Yeah, it actually is. You can watch us there at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. Dave Miska is engineering. Brian Gertsch has the video feed. Jay Zawoski is here with us, working using a chair as a desk and a chair.
Interesting setup
He's got like an ottoman or a tuffet or something on which he rests. And then
definitely a tuffet. Jay's always been a tuffet guy. I've always said that about Jay.
He is sitting on a tuffet. He's rolling around on it. Outstanding.
That's fantastic.
The mobile tuffet. And back upstairs, Rick Camp on the board and the executioner Ray Diaz in the back doing what he does. Should we listen to this stuff from John Lester?
Yeah, I think that's where things start today, because as much as this offseason has been about the Cubs creating their own focus on getting off to a good start, removing the demons from last year, calling what this is a reckoning, they have not reckoned very well in the first five games of the season. They haven't.
I reckon this ain't no good.
I reckon I've not seen much like this in a piece. You know, like this is the worst start you could imagine, because every next thing is a walk. Game in this brand of baseball, you can't walk people. You can't have that going on.
And Lester was good. He battled. He played baseball.
He was fantastic. He was John Lester at 39 years old, or however the hell old he is, 35, pitching, being a stopper when you needed him to be a stopper at his age with that stuff. And then the bullpen did that.
So he's allowed to be John Lester, and this is what he had to say after the game.
We all want to get off to a good start.
what we're doing a little bit right now is maybe just trying to press and do too much. Everybody's trying to come in and whether it be a hitting situation or a pitching situation and be the guy. That's hard to do over 162 games. So I think we put such an emphasis on getting off to a good start that I think it's kind of hanging over our heads a little bit right now.
Wow. That is in context, and that is straight up. You don't need to really dig to interpret what he's saying. Hanging over our heads right now.
This is here. We feel this. We understand it. Brad Brock talked about it. Steve Cishek talked about it a little bit in their own ways yesterday. None of them could find the strike zone. And I think what John's getting at is every guy's trying to be the guy that fixes it. And honestly, it's a really understandable position for even veterans to be in, because the ask here isn't, we were bouncing around on Twitter last night and kind of going back and forth with some Cub fans and just kind of trying to understand where their frustration is, how exactly it's manifested. You want to blame someone for this at some point, right? Whether that's the front office, whether that's ownership, whether that's Joe Maddon, whether that's, but not many are looking at the relievers themselves and thinking, be better.
Throw strikes.
And it's not that big an ask. You got to remember, yes, there is a philosophical grind going on with this team as it's constructed, because it's the same one that ended last season in such a calamitous fashion, right? Yeah. I mean, these are the guys.
But the bet was, we know how to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get all new coaches, and we're going to get all these cameras, and we're going to put all our brain power into this, and everything's going to be better.
And it can be. It has to be better than this.
Right.
It is not just a failure to change over bullpens or move a couple of pieces out or sign a high-priced free agent or, make a trade or two. They've been so unsustainably bad. They have 17 walks in just over 17 innings. That's unheard of.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's absolutely terrible. This is the worst stretch of the season for this bullpen.
The comments from Lester are alarm bells to me. That is a bright flashing light, because it's Lester. This is the guy they flew out to talk to him to get buy-in on everything that they were doing.
Yeah,
Lester was the guy who called Ian Happ after he got sent down. This is not some schmo on the end of the bench. This is Lester saying this, hanging over our heads, pressing because of the urgency. He's telling you it's backfiring. He's telling you this isn't. We're not interpreting this. We're not interpolating this. He's saying it.
Yeah, I mean, there's two different issues at hand, I think. You tell me if I've improperly separated these things, but while there is urgency and there's this renewed focus that the team has talked about, that Theo has said has been organically come about, that it just kind of came around because everybody wanted to be better than they were last season. There's that. There is also just the matter of fact that this is expected to be a 90-something win team that wins a division. Not that could win a division, but that wins a division. That's been their expectations. That's been their mindset since they got run out of the NLCS by the Mets in 2015, that they, for a couple of years, can be consistent playoff contenders. That expectation is almost, in my mind, separate from this urgency that's been placed on the team. They work in tandem, but they're separate entities. And I don't, because of how bad things have started, it's almost impossible to look at them differently, but they are different.
They are, but the other side of that, the positive side of that, is they know they're good and they know they're better than this. Which will continue to underpin all of the Sturm und Drang and crisis that we have at the moment, is their actual understanding that they are better than they are playing now. And they have, as Joe Maddon has said, they have beaten themselves.
They absolutely have. And it's I think what John's saying, I think part of what John's probably driving at here in the cut we just heard, is that while we know we're good, like, let's acknowledge how we've let ourselves get a little underwater here. Not in terms of record, not in terms of being 1-4 and leading the universe in walks and stuff, but in terms of how we've let whatever mindset we had leaving camp into the regular season, that's gotten away from us somewhere. So it's not so much a resting on laurels as it is relying on talent that gets
sure,
you out of this.
This is the conflict in the theme of this year is Joe can't play the everything's okay card when Joe's bosses have said everything's not okay, even though it does sound like they're walking it back a little bit now. It does sound like the guy said, well, I didn't really say that there. That was misinterpreted. But, I mean, you put it out there. You put it out there. And now your team leader says it's backfiring.
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night. Danny Parkins and Jay and Zawoski and Shane and I were all at up in the Hochberg Suite for the Blackhawks game.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was beautiful.
It's a great place to watch a game, isn't it?
It was awesome to be up there. The overtime was terrific. And for a moment, you had, like, the shootout was going on as Rizzo worked his walk to get on base after Bryant rolled over to third base. And for a moment, I'm looking at Jay, and he's looking at the shootout, and I'm thinking, okay, so this happens while the Cubs comeback happens? Well, that'd be a pretty nice night and a good way to set up the show tomorrow. That'd be a really great thing. And we just kind of shook our heads. It's not happening that way. It didn't happen that way.
Did David give you a jar of Nutella with your name on it by any chance?
No. Why would he have given me a jar of... That's such an odd thing to ask.
He has a Nutella connection, apparently.
He's got a guy. He's one of the guys who's got a guy for everything.
Yeah, and he's got a Nutella guy who sets him up with all kinds of Nutella things and surprises. And it's just, I don't know.
What? So do you have a jar of Nutella with your name on it?
Maybe. I'm not saying I don't.
Is it etched into the, is it a glass jar?
No, but it's, he's, I'm telling you, just,
but it's not like, it's not like David just, like, scrawled your name in a Sharpie on a jar of Nutella, right?
He has these things done for him. He has people in Italy or something manufacturing things. This segment is brought to you by Amco Transmission and Total Car Care. Potholes are a serious cold weather road hazard causing damage to axles, struts, and steering. Amco's expert technicians can find and fix the problem fast, and their suspension systems check is free. Search AAMCO for a location near you.
You know, focused, ready to go. I just fight myself mechanically. I just kind of make that fine adjustment for whatever reason tonight, and, you know, it's tough. You know, tough one.
That is Steve Cishek, who was just... butt last night. That is just hard to watch.
Well, don't
man.
Soften it up, Dan. Tell us how you really feel.
Oh, he agrees.
It was very difficult to watch. I'm sure it was difficult for Steve to endure. I'm sure it was difficult for his teammates and his manager, too. I started thinking when we were at up at Hochberg Suite for the Blackhawks game last night, I tried to put myself in Joe's position, knowing I wasn't going to be able to hear the post-game show on the way back home because the Hawks game was still letting out and everything, and I was going to miss Joe live. When we went to him in the postgame show here on The Score, I thought, okay, how best to answer some of these questions? How do I think he's going to go around some of the talking points here, some of the issues at hand? And I just couldn't help but think Joe's job must be really hard when he can't say, I don't know, because he's the manager, right? I mean, it's very – you hear a manager say, I don't know, and then you really start to turn your wheels. Then you really start to think about, okay, what's going on?
Why don't you know?
And he didn't say,
your
I don't know.
Your job is to know, right?
So he can't say, I don't know. And he didn't, because Joe understands how he's got to get around this best he can. But he also can't call his players out, at least not in public yet. And I'm not even saying, like, you know, Ozzie Guillen going after Boone Logan or something like that. You know, I don't mean, you know, out loud looking at the media and saying, yeah, he can't do this job and we can't have, and we need the, not that, just saying we need more of this, or it's got to be from them, or, you know, just kind of the general player call out that you'll hear a manager issue mm-hmm. from time to time during a championship expected season, that
just
kind of thing.
A blanket reminder of professional responsibility.
Yeah, we're out here. We got to get outs. I mean, we get execution, that kind of thing. You'll hear it couched in execution a lot, but he can't do some of that stuff, or at least if he did, I think it'd be pounced on quicker by fans and those outside looking at the team. Because the whole offseason was spent spreading the responsibility to players themselves.
Well, and putting pressure on Madden.
That's there too. That's endemic in putting responsibility on 25 guys on the roster. That's all there. But I don't, you know, if the question is, what else can Joe do? Quite frankly, I'm out of answers. I don't have any.
You know, I know there's no magic button that he's going to push here, but I think you're right. And I think it's appropriate that you bring up, remember, if all roads lead back to those exit interviews,
mm-hmm.
all roads lead back to hearing how dissatisfied the players were with themselves perhaps echoing some similar concerns about the resources they had or the voices that they were hearing. Management responds essentially by saying, what do you need from us?
Yeah.
What do you need from us? And the players spoke, and they redid everything. And now I can understand it if management, including in the level of Madden, if you take away the component of his contract situation, his status, whatever his future may be. I get it. If Theo and Jed want to say, hey, you know, anytime. You know, we rolled this out for you. We arranged our entire off season to treat you as the customer and know that you're going to get everything that you need, everything at your disposal. And in return, we're going to raise our expectations right off the bat. Go get it.
So the one thing, I mean, obviously it's been surprising and kind of shocking to see them underperform and just kind of suck as badly as they have in four losses. That's been surprising. The one thing that I would be absolutely shocked by this season is some sort of internal fall down. Some sort of, like, I don't think that Joe being under the last year of his deal is enough to derail this team as it might be in other franchises. I don't think collectively this kind of subpar performance, because I don't expect it to last as long as you know, the rest of the season. I don't expect this team to fold in on itself. I think that's the one thing you can trust that's been created here in this organization, is that these players understand the expectations and they understand what they expect out of each other. The front office understands the same thing. And this coaching staff is, you know, despite some of its faults, it's a good one when it comes to building something like that around itself.
And Theo Epstein says, you can write your stories. Okay.
It's
all right.
What other stories are to be written?
What do you want to write?
I mean, I'll celebrate David Bode for signing his contract and getting the money while the money's there to be got. Good on you, man. While we're in, did you see that Major League average salaries are expected to decline for a third straight season? Mm-hmm. You don't have to cry poor for millionaires, but this is a guy who's worked his ass off as an 18th round draft pick. He's done enough. And he's not getting a pay raise this year. It's next season, and the big money, $3 million, doesn't chip in until the work stoppage is likely going to start. This is good on you, David.
312 texter says, you are interpolating it. You're suggesting Lester's blaming management. He could be saying that they bought in and it isn't working. I'm not saying he's blaming management. I'm saying that we have facts here. The Cubs have stumbled out of the gate. The Cubs were challenged to be good out of the gate. The Cubs, the word urgency was used. It has been the watchword of the offseason ever since the meetings and Theo Epstein's press conference. He was mad. He has tried to take some of that negative energy and infuse the offseason and spring training with it. And John Lester just said that some of that pressure to perform is hanging over their heads a little bit right now with everybody pressing. These are just his words. I'm not saying that Lester's unhappy with management or that he's pointing fingers. He's just telling people what's happening with the baseball team.
If you read the story that Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney wrote in The Athletic a couple of weeks ago, the visit to John Lester's house by the front office seemed as much to find out what he wanted from the season and what he felt this team needed in this season, going into the season, as a directive from the front office. There's a collaborative effort going on. So when John says that the importance they put on a good start has gotten over our heads, they were as in on the importance of a good start as anybody else.
Mike and Mount Prospect, you're on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Hey, obviously the Cubs are going all the way this year.
I mean, I think they're still a good ball club and they can't be this bad, but this start is a rough one.
No, I got a question. So what happens? I mean, you guys are all in it, you know, every day. So let's say a starting pitcher has a great game, and then the relief pitcher comes in like last night, totally blows it. What happens after the game? Like in the locker room? Like, does Lester go and smack him around? I mean, is there animosity? Like, I don't know. What's the dynamic there? You know? Like, it's just awkward,
more often,
right?
More often, no.
It's awkward. It can be.
Yeah, but more often than not, the starter goes over and says, no worries. Pick you up next time.
More often than not. And when you've got a guy like John Lester, that's how you trust him to act. That's how you trust him to behave. He's been around enough guys. John Lester's been around enough guys that have gone up to relievers after games and not had the proper reaction to know that that's not how you handle this thing. it's worn on teams late in seasons in September. You got a good pitcher on a bad
everybody
team.
Everybody knows.
It happens.
Everyone knows.
It's like
there's no secrets. Everybody's seeing the same game.
Ricky Renteria talks about this all the time. He talked about this when we were going into his first season. He was asked like how he's going to teach this game to young players. And the one thing that he stressed is that with these young kids, regardless of their experience or inexperience, they're not up there to try and strike out. They're not up there to try and walk the next guy. Like, they understand what they've done as much as any more than anybody else watching that game. So I've always tried to keep that in mind when dealing with failure that inevitably happens in baseball. Like, this is understood by everybody in that clubhouse. It is.
A lot of people want to jump in and react to a stressful beginning to the Cubs season, but we're taking some of that stress off here today at our Back to Baseball rally at 1-2 Prue. It is brought to you by our friends at Sweetwater Tavern and Grill, newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile, and Redemption Rye Whiskey. Rye is back, and so is baseball. Get your Redemption Rye Whiskey or Bourbon today. We are talking baseball at the moment. It's got a lot to do on this show. Jason Benetti is going to drop by and talk about the White Sox, their big victory yesterday. Yoan Moncada. I told you I was bullish on Moncada.
God.
I told you I was still feeling pretty good about
him. That is a hot start as well.
Yeah,
that is.
That's kind of what you wanted on the other side of town.
Looks completely different, doesn't he?
Well, I think that is a guy who maybe they did fix something. Maybe they did turn a knob in his head a little bit and got everything trued up in just the right way.
I think he deserves some credit, too, for turning that knob. I mean, that's an aggression that needs to be changed from the man within.
Lots of baseball talk right here in the lobby of Prudential Plaza on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670, The Score, and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We all want to get off to a good start. I think what we're doing a little bit right now is maybe just trying to press and do too much. Everybody's trying to come in and whether it be a hitting situation or a pitching situation and be the guy. That's hard to do over 162 games. So I think we put such an emphasis on getting off to a good start that I think it's kind of hanging over our heads a little bit right now.
Nothing wrong with what John Lester is saying. He's saying we. He's not pointing a finger at anybody. He's mentioning everybody involved, pressing, hanging over our heads a little bit, and might be right. And sometimes you speak it into existence.
Yeah, I think sometimes you could pitch it into existence, that's for sure. It's disconcerting to hear, you know, comments like C-Shek's, where he just doesn't know what was going on, or Brad Brock, who had kind of lost it too. You trust veteran relievers to get themselves back together. I just, you know, if the responsibility has been spread evenly, if organically you've risen to this level of urgency, then what? You know, you need wins, you need somebody, you need some good feeling to put this thing back together again. And it's difficult to do that. At least for me, it's difficult to do that. I'll just be honest, in having to turn to Yu Darvish this evening. Like, that's a difficult
now
process.
Now he becomes the stopper.
Because now and you got a stopper-type start out of Lester.
Yeah, and you blew right through that.
You know
how
gritty that... Like, that's just that guy.
That was
just
your support level on the technical analysis.
Yep. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't great. But he let up solo shots. And I think it's still more than likely true that if you give up solo shots, you're not going to lose a game.
Opposite field solo shots, interestingly enough.
I'm not saying that they tasted good.
Baseball.
I'm not saying that it felt
something's
all that.
Something's going on
did
with
you,
the baseball.
I don't know if you watched this. I texted you. And I hate doing this because all you're going to do is take a victory lap around the whole lobby of 1-2 Pro.
I hate texting them too.
It's just awful. I hate it so much. But the Orlando Arcia shot for the Brewers, the 3-run homer, that thing is a down and away off-speed that he just kind of flipped. I mean, you see a Kobe Bryant fadeaway jumper where he's covering he's going backward so far and just making that shot so much more difficult for himself, because instead of shooting it from 12 feet, it's now 14
feet. It's the equivalent of making the basket move up and away from him. Yeah.
It's like when Alex Rios would be on those hot streaks but start to lose it and his ass would bail out of his swing, but he'd still just get around on the baseball and hit homers. Like, he did that. and it went out of, Orlando Arcia did that, and it went out of the ballpark with ease.
Yeah, that's not Aguilar. That's not a guy who's natural power.
Something to watch.
Uh-huh.
Something to watch.
Chris in Evanston, you are on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Hey, good show, guys. Thanks. I was wondering, how long do they stick with Joe? I mean, let's just say we get to the All-Star game and we find ourselves 8, 10, 12 games out and the ship hasn't been righted. You know, we have one good starter, maybe two good starters in Hendricks and Lester. The bullpen keeps letting us down. We're hitting the ball. When do they pull the plug on Joe and say we need to bring somebody in here that's either going to crack the whip and throw away the dressy suits and get back to business? Or, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Chris, I think the realistic answer is they'll take the temperature of the 25 guys in the room. Yeah. I don't mean that to say the players decide that, but you have to I mean, a lot of these guys like Joe. A lot of these guys have come up with Joe. They've grown as much as Joe's grown. I mean, over and over again, I understand that Cubs fans kind of have this perception of Joe as this, you know, three-ring circus master or whatever. But those shows have stopped. He's grown up. His managerial style has grown up a little bit as these players have grown up. You can't... I don't think this is a front office that wants to incite a mutiny. You know? I don't think this is a front office that will... stop understanding the guys in the room, the talent that they have, and what they need. They spent the whole offseason determining what it was the players wanted. I don't think that will suddenly shift.
That's been the theme of this. What do you need? What can we do for you to maximize who you are and what we have invested in you? The investment's been there, and even though they didn't invest in new players, they have invested resources and time in making sure that this group, this young core, has everything at its disposal that they think they need. And like you say, there isn't going to be a mutiny. Not even a little bit of mutiny.
A little bit of mutiny.
There isn't going to be that. But if they think the players think they need to hear a new voice, then they would do something. What's really odd, though, is, you know, Joe's restaurant is coming online.
Yeah.
He's coming out with a beer that just debuted, and a Joe Madden family pasta sauce that's coming out. It's all kind of...
I've said this before. I think I said this, last year as we were getting started. It has remained amazing to me that the manager who brought the Cubs the World Series title that everyone has long dreamed about does not have a longer leash. Even, and I mean that, knowing.
Do you mean from his bosses, or do you mean the honeymoon of perception?
It was immediate.
It was immediate. It was right after the game. Yeah. It was like, yeah, we won the World Series. Hooray.
In spite of Joe Madden.
Right, and what was that?
Like, you can look at his decision to leave Aroldis Chapman in there as, that's not a great call. Or leaving Kyle Hendricks in there a little bit too, or taking him out too soon. I mean, and go, well, I didn't like those calls. But I, honest to God, Dan, I thought that the manager who won a World Series with the Cubs would get a free pass. I mean, really, you could be mad at him for some individual decisions, but really, you'd buy him the shot in the beer every time he comes to your local. It is amazing to me. And speaking of, not for nothing, but you mentioned the investments, right, into this team, and it made me think of the David Bodie contract a little bit. And it came out after we were done with the show, but that's the kind of deal that ought to be celebrated by a team that claims, that says we just didn't have any more money to spend. David Bodie's not making a penny more this year than he otherwise would have. He's not stretching this year's number. The next couple seasons, he makes a little bit more money. The numbers in total are essentially rounding errors. And the options, the buyouts, are $1,500,000 in consecutive seasons. It costs you nothing to get rid of him if you're wrong, and if you've bet right, you look at the exit velocities that guy carries, you look at the things he did during the offseason to raise his hands and try and cover high fastballs.
Positional versatility.
That helps too. He was getting ruined by high heat in the last 2 months of the season or whatever. He has made efforts to fix that in terms of his stance, his athleticism, his approach. These are the kinds of low-risk, high-reward bets that a team that needs the space up against a collective bargaining, a luxury tax, need to make. That deal ought to be celebrated, not condemned.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. Don't go anywhere. The voice of the White Sox on television, Jason Benetti, is going to join us live next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only
only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.